Okay, so like everyone these days calls themselves an entrepreneur and everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, right? But an entrepreneur isn't just like having ideas and like having an idea for a clothing brand or whatever. There's so much more to it. Like you've got to be able to create, lead people, you've got to be able to do the sales, the marketing, be able to handle situation when things aren't going your way. I was listening to your other podcast saying about how entrepreneurs, if you want to just go to bed when you want to, then get a job. If you want to have no stress, get a job. But entrepreneur is the one who's doing all the stuff just so the person can go to work and just do one job. And it's so much more than just, I'm an entrepreneur because I have an idea about whatever. What's your take on that word and how it's just lost its true value because everyone's an entrepreneur these days?
Not only has the word lost its true value, I think that there's all these spin-off words that have come from it that maybe kind of better describe these individuals who are looking to become business owners. So first of all, I think one distinction that needs to be made is whether or not you're really an entrepreneur or if you just don't want to work for your boss and be told what to do every day. I think there has to be a distinction there. You know, I think there's a lot of people who they watch shows like Shark Tank, and God bless those shows. Those shows influence people so much and they motivate people so much, and they're great. But then I think a backlash that's happened in the past, you know, 10, 15 years is that now everyone thinks that they have the qualifications to work on their own or to start their own business. And that's just not the case. Mark Cuban likes to call some entrepreneurs wantrepreneurs. So yes. That's a category of entrepreneurs is the wantrepreneurs. I think that there's another category called solopreneurs. And these are people who aren't really entrepreneurs, but they have their own hustle and they just like to work for themselves. They're not necessarily looking to build a company with a bunch of employees, but they like working alone. We used to call those, I don't know what you guys call them in England, but we used to call them independent contractors. But if you're kind of creative and flashy, you can call yourself a solopreneur now. There's another term that I heard recently called opportuners. And opportuners aren't really entrepreneurs. They're investors who like to invest in small businesses and make them grow. So they're not necessarily the business guy. They're not the idea people. They're not the marketing people. They're not the operational people. They don't bring any of that to the table, but they write the checks so that they can say they co-own a business. And then there's what I consider to be the real entrepreneurs. These are people who really have an idea, really have an original brand, and who really truly do want to build a company with employees and brick and mortars if necessary, and create a legacy for generations to come.
Yeah, so like a businessman to me is somebody who an entrepreneur hires to run his business. The entrepreneur creates the model, the structure. He's doing the sales and the leaflets and the advertising. He's marketing and going out there on the streets himself and hiring people to deliver. He's got leaflets, business cards. He's doing posters. He's saving up and he's working to invest. He's working all through the night. He's doing the website. He's doing the app. He's doing fucking everything, right? Ready for the businessman to run it for him. And then he moves on to the next venture. And then you have the people running different departments for you. So the sales department, marketing department, whatever department, social media department. But the entrepreneur is someone who does everything, creates the whole thing, essentially before he sells it. That is an entrepreneur. A businessman's not an entrepreneur. He's following the ideas of his boss, aka the entrepreneur. And he's telling people what to do. And all he's really doing is saying, this is your position, stick to it, or you get fired. Okay, the entrepreneur isn't just someone who like creates a business. They have a vision, a mindset of growing, never being satisfied, trying to adapt. There's a problem. They find a way around it. That drive, that don't care about that, keep moving forward. It's a different mindset. You can't just learn it. You can't create it. You either have that natural ability to just have a vision and keep going no matter how you get there, or you don't. And people say, are you born with it? Well, not necessarily in DNA, but if you've grown up with an ambitious parent, for example, right, and your father's very ambitious, and you see him always creating, and every time there's a problem, he finds a solution, and every time he just keeps creating. That is an entrepreneur, creating something that doesn't exist. And these days, everything is already out there. People are jumping on the bandwagon, as I said, clothing brands, they want to be the next songwriter. It doesn't go any further than, I've got 50 followers, I'm creating a clothing brand. I go to China, Alibaba, I get a white t-shirt. I go to a person who puts the label on, a logo, and that's as far as it goes, because they've seen it and they get to that point, they don't know how to break it. An entrepreneur finds a way around it and knows, actually, this is the flooded industry. I can't be going down this path. I need to be doing something else. That is what I'll call an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. And you know, me living here, I work in San Francisco. I live in Oakland. I also have a property in Las Vegas. But being out here on the West Coast, I mean, I grew up with that kind of copycat entrepreneurialism. Here in San Francisco, I mean, just watch the show, the HBO show Silicon Valley. Everything in that show is 100% accurate to how it is here. People are spinning their wheels trying to be the next Facebook, the next Uber, the next Instagram. And everyone is just trying to, everyone out here thinks that they have the next $1 million idea based on the last $1 million idea. But what they don't understand is that there's a reason that Mark Zuckerberg was able to do what he did and other people can't. They can't mimic it. There's timing involved. There's connections involved. You might have an investor that will invest in someone they like who doesn't have a great idea versus someone who has a really great idea, but they just don't like your fucking personality. They don't want to build with you, you know? They don't see that drive in you. They see that you're a copycat, you know? Businesses go out of business over and over and over and over again out here because everyone is just trying to do a spin-off business on someone else's concept. And you can't do that. And that's why recently I've made the decision as an entrepreneur to not really use social media that much and to build my business the grassroots way, which is the most effective way for me, my personality. Now, if I had a shitty personality, it would be in my best interest to be on social media where I can be fake, if that makes sense. But I don't. I have a loving, warm, open personality that is almost magnetic in real life. Maybe not so much online, but in real life, it definitely is. And now I've decided to strictly pour all of my energy into reinvesting in myself and connecting with other people that I actually meet. That means getting my ass out of the house, not sitting at home typing and clicking all the time, but getting my ass out of the house and going to events, going to breweries, going to community type stuff. And just talking to people, looking people in the eyes, shaking hands, saying hello, being happy. Just fucking be happy, and that will automatically draw people toward me. So that's my marketing strategy, and it has been for the past couple of weeks. And it's actually really, really working. So one of the things that I like to do is when I meet somebody, I ask, hey, do you have an iPhone? Oh, can I subscribe you to my iTunes? Can I subscribe you to my YouTube channel? And most people are very open about that. And it takes the courage to say, hey, can you hand me your phone? Can you trust me? I'm not going to run away with it. And I'm also not going to subscribe you to anything that sucks. So I'm not going to spam you. Can you trust me? So it's those little moments of looking people in the eye and creating that warmth, which is my strength. And I realize as an entrepreneur, I do need to play to my strengths until I make enough money to hire someone who can support me where maybe I just don't have as much experience.
So you obviously know what affirmation is, or a sign from the universe, right? Where you're thinking about something and somebody says something and you walk past somewhere and you get that message like, I'm supposed to do that, right?
Absolutely.
So I have made a decision to grow my podcast platform, not by going on other people's podcasts, but by going to the ground roots, like you said, by going into London and actually speaking to people and handing them over my phone, as you said, and saying, can you follow me? Okay. Most of them, they might unsubscribe a few days later, right? But the other half that choose to listen to through your shit will end up listening. Okay. And out of those five, for example, out of the 10, one might stick, but then they tell two. And then those two tell one, which becomes four. So you went from 10 to 5 to 1 to 2 to 4. I found that everyone's trying to do it quickly online. They want to just put out a hashtag, get somebody to tag them, and then they do the work for them. When you look about how Steve Jobs first sold the first iPhone, or Microsoft first sold the computer, he went to like his local computer shop, and the guy ordered 100. Okay, and then a guy ordered, say, 500. If you look at Mark Zuckerberg, he told his, like, 50 friends at his university to sign up. It all started from one person telling one, which told two, which told three. And then that becomes, like, 100 to 1,000 to become 2,000. And then the investor comes and says, this is fantastic. These days, as you said, everyone's trying to get there quick. They want to put a video out on YouTube and hope they get millions of hits. And then they go to the next thing. They go to TikTok, then they go to Instagram, and then they start doing tricks in the street, and then magic, and then how to beat the roulette, and then how to become an Instagram success overnight. They're chopping and changing because none of it's sticking. And as you said, if you go back to the basics of every person who's made it, they've started from one to two to three, and they've built their building blocks. So like back in the day, before social media, someone had an idea, and they go out into the California beach, and they speak to people for 10 hours a day. Yep. And they might get five people, but then next day they get another five. And that's how it grows. And to me, as I said, this is an affirmation. I don't want to have to start relying on other people's podcasts to get my word out, because if you start to rely on other people, you've got no control over it. And you start to become desperate and start being like, you do me favors, and then you owe people shit. Whereas I want to go to London, okay, walk around the London Eye, walk around Westminster, and start speaking to people and saying, hi, have you heard about my podcast? Obviously they haven't. Oh no, you should check it out. They've met me. They will subscribe, they will follow. Yeah, most of them, as I said, they will unsubscribe, because if they're not on the same frequency as you and they don't understand about law of attraction, power of the mind and shit, they won't follow you. But that one that you find will become two. And that's called building it from the basics. And it won't happen overnight. I'll have to do that for months and months and months. But that's what you call organic, which means that will naturally spread. That seed will become two, will become four, will become six. We just want to put a seed down from a plant that's already like, kind of grown, and then we want to plant it and expect the roots to just like pick up where it left off, and it's not how it works. So this is for me a confirmation that what I thought is the right way, because you've just said that that's what you're doing and it's working. Because I don't want to be on fucking line spending money on Facebook ads, wasting my money, because I want to get rich quick. I need to speak to one person and they tell someone and they stick to me because they actually connect with me, rather than, yeah, I'll sign up. And then all of a sudden they've signed up and you've left them and they're down, and you're left with like two followers again. Bollocks.
I love that. Okay. Well, I never thought that I would find another person who would feel the way I did, because how long, you said you've only been doing your podcast for, you said a month?
So my first podcast was 6 weeks ago, right? But then I've only been doing online ones for about three to four weeks.
Okay. I started my podcast in the middle of 2000, I think it was 18, I believe, maybe last year. So I basically started my podcast a year and a half ago. And the journey that I've been on, I'm just going to, everything that you're saying is absolutely what I went through. So I let a lot of people get in my ear. I started because, you know, I was motivated to be successful. You know, I went to a lot of marketing groups, and I listened to a lot of Gary Vee, and I listened to a lot of, who, by the way, I fucking hate him. He's like, oh God, he needs a chill pill. and to stop, whatever. But I started going, listening to all these marketing experts, these Instagram experts, all these people getting in my ear saying, you have to have an Instagram and you have to use these hashtags and then you have to track people down and follow back. And I knew that wasn't going to work for me, but I did it anyway. And it fucking made me miserable because it made me not insecure about my content, but it made me frustrated because I'm looking at this, the beer community, and I'm looking at like, how does this woman who says nothing intelligent about beer have 100,000 followers and I have 700, and all she does is hold a can of beer next to her tits, you know? It got really frustrating. LinkedIn was a great platform for me for a short period of time. It was actually my favorite platform because I feel like LinkedIn has a little bit higher of a maturity level than the other social media platforms that are out there. So I definitely enjoyed it. For the most part, people are more positive on LinkedIn. They're more business oriented. It's a really good way to throw around ideas with other entrepreneurs. But even then, you find out that a lot of these entrepreneurs, these life coaches, these business coaches, these marketing coaches, they're all fucking fake. The cars, those sports cars that they have in their profile pictures are rentals. They don't make six figures, but they're taking your money, trying to tell you how to make six figures. But nonetheless, I'm at a point now where it's just gotten to everything that you said would happen when you live life that way. Desperation, scarcity mindset. Oh, if I don't post every day, like Gary Vee says, I'm not going to be successful. Or if I don't use all these hashtags, or if I don't engage with all these other people and spin my wheels trying to give them all my time, then I'm not going to be successful. And it creates this hysteria, this frenzy, almost just like the fucking coronavirus is doing right now, to where you don't believe in yourself and you feel like you have to give and give and give and give and be inauthentic. But what you're telling the universe is that my shit is not important because I'm paying attention to content, trying to get that little scrap of love back reciprocated to me, and it's not fucking working. Now I tell the universe, there is no other podcast that's more important than me. And I'm investing in myself when I get out there and I love on other people, because that's the real connection. That's the real engagement. Do you think, I think that I'm far less likely to unfollow someone that I've met in person than someone that I've never met and whose content doesn't resonate with me. You know what I mean? And I'll still leave my subscription. I'll still follow someone, even if I'm not crazy about the content, because I care about them enough to leave them the numbers that I know that they're trying to get. You know what I mean? There's a couple of beer podcasters out there that I subscribe. I don't listen to their content because I don't think their content's great, but I care about that person. I see what they're trying to do. I want them to stay motivated. And all of that energy comes back to me. So I'm literally doing like a grassroots marketing system, and I'm loving it. I'm happier. I'm not wasting my fucking time. I'm not listening to people who are distracting me with ideas that are inauthentic and, more importantly, ineffective.
Absolutely. So I find that when the majority go left, it's the swamp is flooded. When the majority of the animals go left towards the swamp, it's flooded. There's no fish, and if there is, you're fighting over it. There's limited fish. That is when you go right. Every time the group of followers go left, the entrepreneur goes right. When the entrepreneur goes left, the followers go right. The entrepreneur is one step ahead. And yeah, when we create a name, for example, online, you have to follow the certain packages that people make money online with. You've got the ebook, you've got the click funnel, how to make a podcast the organic way from the roots. And you start slagging off everyone else who says you don't need hashtags and blah, 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 blah. And then when they do their thing, they start slagging off, you don't need to do this, this, and this. Everyone always creates something from the past model, but in their own unique way, which is better. And it's not anyone's better. or anyone's worse. There's just multiple factors that work for different people at certain times. It's not that LinkedIn was good or bad, Instagram was good or bad, hashtags, networking. There's small bits of every single thing that makes up this, the next step. And people always, when they get to the step, they talk back how they got there. Okay. But you speak about the small steps you had to take to get there out of the millions of steps. So people think, okay, well, if I just take these steps, I'll get there. Like if I just focus on the hashtags, I'll get there. What they don't understand is that that person had to try out billions of hashtags. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the hashtags. It's I had to go through billions of hashtags. When these people say I can make £5,000, £500 a day on stocks and shares, what they don't say is I have to invest 30 grand. Or when they say I make money doing drop shipping, £500 a day, what they don't say is I spend £5,000 on marketing. So they always leave out the bits that they know won't be the selling point, because this is the selling point. Hence why like 1% only end up doing it. So yeah, all these people, when they create like the click funnels, they say, well, when I've got here, this is what I did. Yeah, you did that. But there's also millions of things you had to not do in order to get there, which people have to do in order to get there. So this thing about the grassroots, you filtered out all the bollocks of what everyone says you shouldn't do. And I did the same thing. I focused on the hashtags. I wrote this strict description, keywords in the title on YouTube, keywords in the description. I wrote a description linking all the keywords. Then I had to think about what keywords I said speaking, because the algorithm, and then it has to match the Instagram. I was spending an hour doing all this bollocks, right? And it wasn't doing anything. And they say, oh, it takes time. I thought, fuck this. My gut says, don't bother on that. Focus on content. If you're good as you think you are, and I think I'm God's gift, right? The word will get out and you will naturally spread like chlamydia. If you're as good as you think you are, you just have to speak and it will grow. Fuck all this description bollocks. Fuck all the hashtags. Fuck all the links. Okay. Fuck all going on people's podcasts. That's what every fucker's doing. On the, for example, the podcast groups. Everyone's doing each other's podcasts. Everyone's saying, follow my podcast. How can one person listen to 50 podcasts? No one's got enough time to take a shit. So they're not listening to your podcast, okay? You're trying to get each other to promote each other. And the only following we will have is everyone on the group.
Each other!
Which, for example, is only 2,000 people. So right now, you've capped your following at 2,000 people. But they're only listening to maybe one. They're not even listening to you. They're trying to get people to listen to them. They're not listening to you. They're not even listening to themselves. So again, that's like everyone going to the river. All the animals are going to that river because every other animal's going to the river. And they're all waiting in line to get to the front to see if there's a fish. I'm like, there's a fucking fish. Go over there. Go and find new people. Go and speak to people. Everyone's trying to make money online by strangers. They're all trying to do the damn same thing. But as you say, if you've met someone, they're more likely not to unfollow you because they feel guilty. Now you've got a human connection. And it's all about human connection that we're missing. So the fact that they've seen you means they're more likely to stay subscribed, as opposed to all these people online who've only really subscribed because you asked them to. And then when you're not looking, like when a monkey, you say to a monkey, stop scratching your ass. As soon as you're looking away, he scratches his ass. You tell a kid, don't touch that. As soon as your parent looks away, kid touches it. As soon as you're not... As soon as they've got what they want, unfollow. As a human, exactly. They feel that pressure. They've connected to you. So absolutely right. When the swamp gets flooded with all this online bollocks, how to make it, go back to the basics. Go out your house. Go fucking speak to John on the street. Hi, John. I'm a podcaster. Here's my business card. If you don't like it, no problem. But if you do, tell somebody. That will naturally grow. Nothing grows in life quicker than a tree and how quick it takes for a tree to grow. It starts small, it blossoms, then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it grows. You can't beat success. Success happens in the same rate a tree grows, and it's slow. There's no quick way.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. There is no quick fix, and unfortunately in our generation... Can I ask how old are you?
27.
Wow, you're amazing. You're by the time you're my age, you're going to be... Ooh, you're gonna have your own network. I'm 38.
I want to create an online empire. So I hope in 10 years, I absolutely would have made it. I mean, I want to take over James Corden's talk show in 3 years. So if I've not hit my goals, I don't even want to think about like Oh,
well, you will.
3 years.
Okay. You do have star quality, and that's what I think is what drew me to you. And I started listening to your stuff, and you're so funny, and you're so real, and you're so excited, and your excitement is motivating to other people, and that's what's really genuine. You don't have to sell anything. You don't have to tell people. You don't have to give anyone a program. You just have to be you. And I think that that's the most natural part about it. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, that overnight quick success bullshit, that is a manipulation tactic that I think has been used on our generation and your generation especially, to get you out of the mindset of hard work and working smart and having long-term goals. And I just thought of a quote, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember it exactly. But Dave Grohl, who is the former drummer for Nirvana, and obviously he has been the lead singer of Foo Fighters for the past 25 years, major success all over the world. Everyone loves him. He said something about reality shows, and I'm paraphrasing. He said that reality shows are making musicians believe that all they got to do is go to an audition to be successful. He says, no, that's not the case. You need to be playing gigs for free, starting out in someone's garage, you know, take it, you know, traveling all over, not getting any sleep. You know, that is how you build a band. That is how you become a successful musician, not by going to an audition. And that's what the American Idol, Star Search, The Voice, America's Got Talent, England's Got Talent. Like, that's what all of this has manipulated young minds into believing, that all you got to do is just find that right hit. But there's no planting seeds anywhere. And just like you said earlier, as you described my real life experience, which was your speculative experience, but it was my real life experience. Okay. Oh, let me get on Facebook. Let me get on TikTok. Let me get on Instagram. Let me get on LinkedIn. And you're spinning your wheels trying to learn all these algorithms, figure out all the hashtags and keywords, figure out what time of day you have to post to get the most engagement, engage with a lot of people who really, like I said, are in an incestuous relationship where you might think because you have a common interest that somehow that is going to equate to you growing, but really you're just, you know, excuse my language, you're just being circle jerks. You're all jerking each other off in a professional manner, but you're not really reaching outside of the group and reaching people that that might be loyal for the long term. So I've taken a step back and I've just relaxed, and I realized that my sense of urgency, although it does make me a great leader and it makes me productive, I have to be very careful with my heart and make sure that that sense of urgency is not conflated with inferiority or fear or that sense of competition. Like, oh, well, she has 100,000 followers, so now I need to sell out so I can get 100,000 followers. Now I need to show my titties. So I mean, I'll show my titties sometimes when I want to, but I'm not going to sell out like that. Like, it's not that important to me. And one of the themes that I always tell people is that I'm not trying to get in front of a lot of eyes. I just want to get in front of the right people's eyes. And that's really important to me. And I think it should be more important to other people, because trust me, outside of these social media platforms, these people are not as successful as you think they are. They're not. And half of them have serious, might have addictions that you don't see. They might have serious personality disorders that they mask very, very well. Half of these people are dysfunctional as fuck. They can't keep relationships. They can't control themselves. They're just all talk. It's all talk. It's all game. It's all a persona that they put on online. But I guarantee you, half of these people, they leave their house. They walk down the street. Nobody in their own community knows who the fuck they are. What does that say about you? I can take the train to San Francisco right now, walk around the city. If I'm walking around the city long enough, I guarantee you someone's going to recognize me. People recognize me by my tattoo. People recognize me because they've worked with me. A lot of people out here in the Bay know who I am. I go into breweries all the time and people are like, I know you. I know you. I saw you on so-and-so's video. You did that beer review about so-and-so. So the word is getting around. You know what I mean? But it's what I'm building is real. You know, I can, people know me in my neighborhood. People know me in my community. These social media influencers, you think people know who they are outside their own door? Probably not.
That's the thing. It's all fake bollocks online. It's like you, people are too afraid to offend people. When somebody says, I want to be this, I want to be an entrepreneur, it's just who I am. Okay, fine. I respect you. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you can't call anybody out anymore by saying, you're not a fucking entrepreneur, my friend. You're somebody who doesn't want to do any work and wants to become rich and famous overnight. That's not an entrepreneur. You've got a few followings, right? You've got a little clothing line or whatever. That's not make you an entrepreneur, because every fucker's doing that. And an entrepreneur is the one that has struggled through the work for a long, long, long time, who hasn't given up and then makes it. You can't just become an entrepreneur because you think, okay, I'm gonna leave school, work for myself, create a clothing line or whatever. Does not make you an entrepreneur, because then you just realize it's too hard and then you go back to working for somebody. An entrepreneur is the one that refuses to work for someone, who has no choice but to keep creating. And even though he's not got there now, but I keep moving and moving towards other things, things manifest. You build networks, you see people, you get ideas, and then you chop and change from one to the other. It's a mindset. It's like a determination mindset of not giving up. And when something fails, you don't even focus on that. You go to the next thing, and then you just keep going. Like, you don't even care about the barriers. You just keep going through them. And there's no such time frame of when an entrepreneur makes it. If you are truly an entrepreneur, you learn every failure, every step, and it takes time, right? And eventually, as long as you don't give up, you will get there, because you've got superior knowledge from other people who haven't got any experience. You haven't got experience with failure. You've not learned the physical issues and the barriers of how to speak to people. And when someone cancels on you, you've got to call them up and explain to them how, like, you have to cancel on them. That takes nerve. That takes courage. You can't shit yourself. You've got to be professional. Stuff like that. People have no idea the real world. having to deal with making bookings and putting money aside and then losing that money and having to make the money back and then not wanting to borrow and having to ask for money and having to work. There's so much you don't see. Everyone who has created the first seed of a business before an investor buys it, they were the ones working all through the night. Mark Zuckerberg was creating his website all through the night. Steve Jobs sleeping, couldn't sleep, working all through the night. I used to be online creating websites all through the night. These people who get up at 2 in the afternoon and then focus on the little Instagram following and shit, they have not got what it takes. They fizzle out. And as you said, it's the core basics of people know you. You go into the San Francisco Bay or whatever, you say, I'm putting on a speech tonight. You've got 20 real people that are going to turn up and spend 10 quid. That's 200 quid, right? People trying to sell their silly tops online to make, you know, £1 million by selling 1 million tops around the world for £1. It's bollocks. Because they spent so much money buying the products and then paying him to create it and then buying that social media person to sell it and buying that Instagram advert. It's bollocks, right? Real work where you see these people and they know who you are. They're the actual foundation of, like, the artists who travel the world touring. They may get 5 groupies in every city. They've got 100 groupies now, okay? Real people who will buy your album for £4, right? These days, you want to go on X Factor, go on reality TV, you've got a few songs, and you're just going to sell out doing concerts because people on Instagram follow you because they've seen you on TV. They don't even like your damn music, right? They don't like your music. So then you put out, well, I'm singing here, no one turns up. They saw you on TV, they follow you. As soon as you start posting your music, oh, I don't like that. Doesn't exist. You go to your San Fran Bay, real people know you. They're the foundation. You come and see your gigs, come and see your speech, pay for your top. They are the real people. And that is the foundation of the real roots in the ground that are there forever. They will sell you. You don't have to sell yourself. As you said, me being me is enough. That's why I decided I don't want to have to get influencers, podcast with people, hope that they tell their friends, because again, it's too much work. If I'm good enough, I just have to be me. The right people will seal me. The right people will see me speak. And the right person who's got an events company will be like, hey, I'm doing a speaking event in San Francisco. I've got 6 speakers. I need one more. I'll fly you out. When can you do? I can come tomorrow. I go out there. I speak to, say, you know, 300 people or whatever. Those are real 300 people. And that person wanted me because of what I can offer, because I'm genuine and I'm real and I say it how it is. I'm not fake and I get it. That's what I decided to do today. I spent an hour lying on the floor, lying on the sofa, walking around my house, pacing like a lion in a cage, going outside, realizing I'm putting out ads for the podcast. I'm putting out ads for new podcasters. No one's responding. What does that mean? It means it's gone stagnant. It means the pond, the fish has run out. How do I get new people? And the answer is you've got to go back to the basics, organic, go out there, find real people, and they will sell you. You won't have to sell yourself if you are as good as you think you are. And I am the bee's knees, which means as long as I just focus on the content, providing content, podcasting with people, don't worry about the Instagram following. Don't worry about the views on Anchor. Who gives a fuck? Okay? Because it takes time anyway. Get the content out. Go out and network. People will sell you if you're good enough.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? I've had situations. I didn't think they were good enough, and I didn't sell them. You know, I've had a couple of guests on my show in the past when I first started. You know, when you first start, you just kind of take whoever will come on board. And then over time, as you learn how to interview, you learn how to vet people and you learn how to, you know, ask those probing questions and try to get those juicy, meaningful answers, you know, and some people can't fucking deliver it. Some people are very surface level. Their understanding of the law of attraction goes only so far as the movie The Secret. Their understanding of business goes only so far as what bitch-ass Gary Vee tells them, you know? And so over time, you'll start to see the real from the fake, and you'll start to see who's just regurgitating other people's content versus who is building their business from their heart, the way that you are and the way that I am. So yeah, I mean, people will filter themselves out of your life, and people will filter themselves out of your network and your range of influence. There was a fellow craft beer podcaster who he liked me a lot, and he was kind of on my jock, and he respected me. And you know, I went on his show, and he was such a fucking terrible interviewer. I felt like I was carrying him. The guy was monotone as fuck, no personality, wasn't paying attention, really wasn't even pumping me up. He seemed like he was pumping me up more in the pre-interview, but then when we were recording, all of those points and compliments and ways that he was describing me, he couldn't fucking spit it out. So it was like, all right, dude, like, I'm carrying your show. You're not interesting. You're boring as shit, and you're not even hyping me up. So you know what? I'm not going to promote you. You know what I mean? And the guy is brilliant. He has a successful brewery. He does a lot for his community. He's very, very smart, but he's just too fucking boring. And I don't feel like the beer culture has a place for him. And I don't have a place for him within my realm because I can't sell him to anyone else, you know? And that's okay. He's going to do his thing. But like you said, if you think you're the bee's knees, then it will show on its own. And you don't have to do all this peripheral, crazy insanity. Like when you have the laser pointer on the wall and the cat just, you know, is jumping. And I feel like that's how everyone is. But no, we have to stay grounded in who we are. We have to stay grounded in our foundations and our principles and our morals. And like, I feel like for you and me, you know, one of our principles is authentic human connection. I feel like that's probably something that's in your heart. I'm telling you, it's definitely something that's in my heart. That is the foundation of who I am. And if I try to be anything else, I'm being disingenuous. And then what am I telling the universe? You know?
Yeah, it's like I am very strict on timing and being late. I am never late, okay? Never, ever. Because if you start setting that example to other people, they will feel it's okay to be late to you. So if somebody's late, that really sets a bad example. Even a minute. I know you were a minute late, but it's understandable. But
Well, I was a few hours. I couldn't. You know what was funny? And I want to apologize to you for this. I stayed up all night watching TV so I could stay awake to do our interview this morning. And then I realized about 20 minutes before the interview, I said, I'm so sleepy. I can't give him my best energy and I can't give him my best content. And so I would like to thank you for being flexible with me, even though your principles are strong, being flexible with me and rescheduling, because now I feel like I can give it to you. I can give you my heart and have some energy. And so thank you.
That's okay. So that's the thing. I've learned that you need to be flexible, right? You need to have your morals, your discipline, and your principles. Like, being on time is crucial. No one's going to work with you if you think you can just roll up when you want, no matter how big you are. Tom Cruise, he can't just roll up when he wants because there's crew waiting for him, people waiting for him. They've got to follow schedules. No matter how big you are, you have to be on time, okay? And you don't want to get a bad name. Being yourself is something that most people do not have. So when someone has that trait, it's a valuable trait. As you said, that is the gold, being yourself. If you can be yourself like we can, then you've already made it. So the pyramids, why are they still standing over all these years? It's because they were built so strong from the basics. They had such a strong foundation that they have lasted. And that is the same for people who are genuine. If you are genuine to people, you'll get a genuine response back. And that foundation of people will be there forever, and you will be able, they'll be able to sell you and how you're reliable, how you stick to your word, you say what you mean, you mean what you say. As I said, people will sell you. You wouldn't even have to do anything. And these days, everyone's trying to get everyone else to sell each other because it's like, scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. And no one's really got any real shit to sell. And yeah, the higher up the pyramid you go, right, the less like oxygen there is. So the higher in gravity you get. So it's like harder to breathe. So the higher you go, the weak people can't manage to go higher because they start going. But the ones who are strong enough keep going. And because most people aren't strong enough, they stop at, say, pyramid level 5. And the strong ones get to level 6, level 7. Now there's less people on level 6 and level 7, right? So you're left with the people like us, for example, who are the ones that cut all the bullshit out. All the people along the way, they've just sort of died down. They never made it. They go back to their job. And you're left with people like us on a higher frequency than other people where we've made it. Now we connect to other people who've also made it on that frequency. And they can see the same in us in them. And we can see the same in them in us. So now we all work together to keep each other up. Like the Late Late Shows, James gets the guests. The guests promote the film. Okay? It's not a coincidence how all the rich get richer and all the poor get poorer. It's not set up. It's just energy. Negative vibration attract negative. Positive vibration attract positive. It's just the way it is. Okay. Yeah. And if you're up here and you've made it, you'll be up here forever because you only want these people who are reliable. They stick to their word. They're on time. They can give you good performance. Anyone else just hasn't got it. For example, if you don't think that being late is not, if it's okay, you wait until you get into the real world. If you're late for an audition, if you're second or late for an audition, next, please. These millions of fuckers are waiting for their shot. He's not waiting a second for you. He doesn't care if their train was delayed. Get the train earlier, okay? I used to work for a company, right? I used to get to work an hour earlier because I had to prepare for the train to be delayed. I had to prepare for it to rain, prepare for my tire to get a puncture, prepare for me to wake up late, prepare for the food because I work in a restaurant, for the food, my staff meal to be delayed, for the chef to be a prick and he just takes his time. I had to prepare for all the factors along the way that could go wrong. So there was no excuse why I started my shift late. And I was early hour for, I worked there for a year. I was there an hour earlier for every single shift. People say to me, why are you here so early? You start at 5, you're here at 4. That's okay. They don't understand my principles. If they think they can just turn up late 10 minutes after four and just put on their penny and start, that's fine. I can't do that. I need to be in that moment. I need to enjoy my time. I need to get a feel for the environment, whether it's going to be a good shift or not, or the manager's in a pissy mood. Okay.
Right. Right.
So many principles that you can only learn through experience that people haven't, if you've not got what it takes, you will not last in the real world of success. Because in business and entrepreneurialism, everyone's fighting for it. And if you don't know how to handle your shit, you won't even stand a chance. And as you said, it's easy for these people to just funnel out. And the strong ones are there because they've already made it in their head. They were already going to make it. They are as good as you. And it's just only time until they get there.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Let me ask you real quick. So were you a server or a bartender or a cook?
So I was a host. I led the restaurant. So I wasn't a manager. The managers relied on me to run the floor. Now, because I wasn't a manager, because the pay is shit for the amount of work I'd have to do. I run the staff, right? So the waitresses, right? I run them. And what I mean by running them is that managers couldn't manage because they just haven't got the leadership. They're a manager position because they've been there for so long, but they can't manage, right? So I'm the one who answers people at the door and I sit them down and I make sure the tables are clear. Managers used to rely on me to make sure that I'm telling the staff to clear that table, to get this ready. I have to go over and check that they've not left fucking food on the chair, right? So I'm managing the floor. Okay, I shouldn't be managing the floor because the staff should be doing it anyway. But if there's weak management, the staff just do what the fuck they want. And then it's a knock-on effect. Everything fucks up. Because I'm running the door, I need to have the chairs ready. I can't have me sitting people down if there's a fucking chicken wing on the chair, right? So I need to make sure that if I'm running the door, they are following me. Otherwise, I'm going to sit at downstairs and just leaving the floor as it is. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. So I was leading the restaurant because people, I had to build a rapport with people to respect me and understand that, yes, I'm not your manager. You don't have to listen to me, but getting them to sort of work with you. And I was great at doing that. So what was your question initially?
Well, I was just curious because I am a chef. That is what I do. So it's always nice to meet someone else in the industry. And that, that's not something I even knew about you. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. So you're saying, was I a waiter? So when I first joined, obviously I was a waiter, but the more I led the door, the more the managers realized how smoothly shifts went. When somebody else ran the door, some 16-year-old twat who has no idea how to lead and manage and speak to people and organize and timing and shit, useless. Fucking food waits for 15 minutes, food coming back in the kitchen, chefs getting pissed off. When I run the door, such a smooth shift. So I was a host.
And you know what? I just wanted to say that, you know, to this goes back to the entrepreneurialism, that you being a host was part of your training ground. Your character, your heart, your principles made you a good host. And then you being a host gave you the opportunity to execute and to give you the proof of performance, to give the world, to give your boss, to give your coworkers the proof of performance that you needed. You didn't need the fucking title on your business card to be a leader. And I think that that's a lot of thing that might be one thing that does hold entrepreneurs back is that to some degree, they might be afraid to go out on their own because they haven't reached the executive level yet in the structure of whatever company that they're working for or within the structure of whatever industry they're in. And I just want to encourage everyone who's listening, you don't have to have the fucking title. It's all about your character. Like Oliver said, there are certain people who are going to arrive early. There are certain people who are going to make sure that there's no chicken wings on the seat and that the table isn't sticky from a beer that got spilt and no one saw it and didn't fucking bother to clean it up. You know what I mean? There are certain people who are going to go that extra step, see that extra detail, be able to be that problem, not just a problem solver, but a problem preventer. That's another great skill that no one talks about on their resume. When you can do that, that is your training ground. So, you know, like we're saying, there's nothing wrong with having a job. You know, I own 5% equity in the restaurant, in the catering company that I work for. So I'm just as passionate about that as I am about my about my podcast, because I'm realizing now I own this. Now I'm a part of this. Now this is part of my brand. This is part of my portfolio now. So I treat my job with as much love as I treat my own idea. But that's very rare. That's very, very rare. And I'm in a very lucky position to be able to have this. If this was any other fucking job, I probably wouldn't care as much about it. But nonetheless, you know, if you are an entrepreneur, don't doubt yourself in your head if you know you have the skills in your heart.
Yeah, I don't believe in the stupid entrepreneur word. I feel sick when I hear people say entrepreneur. People say to me, oh, you're a little entrepreneur, aren't you? I can't stand that word, because it's like, if you're looking for this title in order to be an entrepreneur, then without the praise and the title and recognition, you're no one, because you're just following the momentum of keeping up appearances that your neighbor says you're a little entrepreneur. You sort of feel like you have to keep doing it. I don't need that stupid word. Whether you call yourself a businessman, entrepreneur, or just I'm just doing what I'm doing, creating my shit. I don't like that word. As I said, when I was younger, yeah, it was obvious that I was the one who was doing my business and creating shit when my friends were just at school, right? But then as everyone else starts calling themselves entrepreneur, you lose the value of that word. So now when I say I'm an entrepreneur, people go, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. It's like, say, someone said to me once, I said, I'm an entrepreneur, you wouldn't get it. Well, I'm an entrepreneur. Oh, all because they have a few ideas. They're not fucking entrepreneur. And it was like, I didn't say anything to that person. I respected them because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. But they work for a company. They've got ideas. There's no fucking, nothing exists. So again, everyone calls themselves an entrepreneur. When I call myself, it's say, well, everyone's an entrepreneur. It's like, no, trust me. You've not got the mindset I have. You wouldn't even stand a chance against me running a business. There's just no comparison, right? No one can lead people like I can. No one has the vision like I can. No one can get on with children and adults and grandparents and CEOs and be respected by all people. That's a trait that you cannot just have if you call yourself a fucking entrepreneur. Could you want to have a little clothing brand, or, you know what I mean, buying and selling a few iPhones? Like, it's a mindset, and you only learn by taking action and working your way up through meeting people above you. Like, I was dealing with people way above my age. When I was 16, 17, 18, I was selling furniture for rich, wealthy clients with like £5 million houses. I was selling their furniture. I was dealing with these people. Don't forget, these people who've got these £5 million houses, they are top of the game in their jobs. They are CEOs. They run businesses. They're used to dealing with like top-minded people. And there's me, an 18-year-old guy, whacking the furniture on eBay. I was getting the job done. I was selling the furniture. I was calling them up. I was arranging for the client to come around and collect. I was getting the payment to them. So my age was irrelevant, but I was dealing with these top people, and they told their neighbor across the road with a £3 million house. They told their brother, also a CEO of another company. Top people taking me seriously because I provided the service and I got shit done. And you can only learn through dealing with people above you. And you can only learn through experience. You can't just call yourself a bloody entrepreneur and think because you are, you're going to make it. Because it's bollocks.
Right. I love that. I love that. And that brings up, I think, a really interesting principle that we need to be aware of. And I'm certainly becoming aware of it. You know, do not cast your pearls before swine. You know, if you were spending your energy at 18 years old doing the things that your friends were doing, it's just a waste of time. And I even feel like, to some degree, social media, you're casting your pearls before swine. Do you know how many millionaires do not have Facebook pages? They do not have Instagram profiles. Okay, how do I go to the bar that they're drinking at and strike up a conversation with that person? I want to know where are the conscious, successful people, where are they drinking? What restaurants are they having dinner at? Where do they take their kids to go play? Where are they vacationing? What kind of workshops and conferences are they going to? Because that's where I want to be. And I realized very recently that this whole social media thing, and even some of the friendships, real life friendships that I've had in my life, they're all fucking crabs in a bucket. They didn't come into my life because they loved me, cared about me, or respected me. They came into my life because they saw the energy, the influence, and the pull that I had. They wished they could have it. So they came into my life as friends, or as people who pretended to want to help me, really so they can try to steal my gold and steal my, you know, steal my my je ne sais quoi that we have that they don't see. So when you talk about waking up that hour early, they don't see that part. They just want to reap the benefits of me waking up an hour early and being the success that I am. So that's one thing you have to be careful for. There is a crab in a bucket kind of syndrome, and that's why you can't deal with people that are on your level or beneath you. You only got to deal with people that are above you. I realize very, I'm realizing now, I need to go meet these fucking brewery owners. If craft beer and my beer podcast is the next phase of my life, if that's my brand, that's my business, that's my dream, then why the fuck am I messing around trying to get, you know, people who don't even work in the industry to like my videos? Why am I doing that? Why am I not writing letters? And I mean writing letters, not emails, actually writing a card, going to Hallmark, getting a fucking Hallmark card and handwriting it. Why am I not sending Hallmark cards to the CEOs of these companies and these master brewers of these companies and these marketing directors of these companies? That's who I need to be giving my attention to, because A, they're the right people who are going to fly me out and pay me for an event. And B, those are the people that are making the products that I love that I'm promoting. So it's like there needs to be a relationship there with people who are above you. And I think that's one thing that gets overlooked, is that we're so consumed by believing that we have to have these numbers from these imaginary strangers, but we're not taking the time to build relationships with people who've been there, done that, and they're better than us. And that's something I'm going to work on this year, is to try to really meet high quality people. And like you said, as the pyramid gets more narrow at the top, more and more people start getting filtered out, you know? And that's exactly a good way. That's also a good way for me to see where I need to be accountable and where my weaknesses is, because I might have my own glass ceiling that I need to break through. I might have my own lessons that I need to learn as I observe people that are better than me. But when you're hanging out with dummies, you're hanging out with bottom feeders, you're hanging out with people who aren't even real to you, then you don't have that reflective mirror to say, hey, you know, you got a weakness here. Or, oh, you know, maybe you should try and work on yourself in this way, because you're not climbing the you're not going up the pyramid. You can't even improve yourself unless you go up the pyramid, you know?
Yeah, so you can imagine you are on a seventh story floor, right? And there's six stories below. Number one, number two, you can climb up the windows yourself. But the higher up you get, the further away the distance from each window means that you can't get up there, because you can't jump. It's just too far away. But they can pull you down. When you suddenly reach a certain level, you can only be pulled up by the people above. You can't get there yourself. So you do all the hard work, getting up as many ladders as you can by yourself. Then it becomes a point where you now need someone else to pull you up. Now you need to work with the CEOs as opposed to just like the managers below. And again, you can only learn that pyramid system from working that system. People mm-hmm. want to jump straight up. They want to like jump from there to there to there. You have to go around. It takes a long time. And as you said, there's people who know they should be getting up an hour earlier, because all the entrepreneurs say they get up an hour earlier, and The Rock posts a picture of him in the gym at 4. But then there's the person who wants to get up an hour earlier because they understand why they're getting up an hour earlier. And they're not just going to bed at the same time, waking up an hour earlier and getting 6 hours sleep. It's the person who knows that 7 hours sleep is important, going to bed an hour earlier so he can wake up an hour later, and understanding that he needs to get out of bed immediately, go for a walk, have water, pray, meditate, do your affirmations, rather than laying in bed on your phone for 15 minutes. Like, yeah. You know why you're doing that cycle. And so people follow the traits you said. They crab in the bucket. They get up an hour earlier, I'm going to do it. He goes to the gym before work, I'm going to do it. He sat on the gym on his phone. He's not really doing anything. It's because in his mindset, he saw The Rock there. So now if he wants to be as good as The Rock, he needs to be in the gym. No, you need to understand why you're going to the gym at that time, because you're ahead of everyone else, and now you've started your day before that person. Again, it comes down to a mindset. And you can't buy that mindset.
I think we call that imposter syndrome. And I love that you just said that you can't buy the mindset. You can't buy the mindset. That's so true.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the thing. Like, when you get to a certain level, you hit a certain frequency, and the higher you go, the more higher pitch the frequency is, and there's less people on the higher pitch frequency.
So when you vibrate
to that frequency, you can then see someone out of thousands of people who is on that frequency. Whereas if you're not on that level, you just simply won't know who they are. But they can see you. They are looking at you, and they can see you interacting with people and seeing other people watch you. Okay, they can see other people and how they're looking at you. You're just being you speaking. Like, when I speak to people down a pub, for example, right? I know that people are watching me speak to that person. I also know that there's someone else looking at me speak to those people, and how everyone else is watching me speak to those people. So you can rest assured that if you are this unique, authentic individual, people know who you are. They can see you, and they're gravitating towards that bar, just the hope that you say hello or they get noticed by you. That's just the way it is. They talk about, you know, the law of attraction, you attract people. It's true. They come under the rugs, through the ceiling, out of the air vents, like The Secret said, they do, right? And often when I finish having my little chat, I'm going to the toilet. People are just watching me as I go to the toilet like I'm famous. I'm like, am I missing something here? Has my video gone viral or something? Am I famous already? Because in my head, I'm a big deal. And when I walk around London, people will know who I am. But right now, I've only got like 100 people on my podcast. No one knows me, but do they know me? And I realize it's the star quality someone has. How you walk, how you present yourself, how you talk, how you look.
Yep.
It's something different about that person who thinks they are already this big deal compared to the average Joe who just walks with his head down, with his hoodie. There's people who look around and they're looking at the birds and the trees and the people, and they're smiling and they're making eye contact. And then there's the people just like looking straight ahead. People are looking at you and how you are looking at everything and everyone. They are watching you make eye contact and smile at people. People can see that quality. And again, you can't buy it. You either have it or you don't. And that's why the law of attraction works so powerful when you are on that frequency, because you just have to continue being you, and you already stand out. You're already the black sheep amongst the 100 white sheep. You don't have to be any other sheep. You're a black sheep. You stand out. People will see that you are different. And then all of a sudden, all the people there who can help you are helping you, because they are also once were black sheep. And that's when you start being pulled up by the right people.
That's right. I never even thought about that. You know what? The really successful people, the ones that really spent their entire careers thinking outside of the box and going that extra step, you're right. They were once the ones who were misunderstood. They were also once the ones who got laughed at. They were also the ones that got made fun of because they didn't want to go out every night and get drunk and, oh, you're a nerd, or, you know, you're no fun. You know, they were once in our shoes, and I never thought about how there's a cycle there, and that they were once where we are, and they will be the ones who will recognize our frequency in us because they used to have it. Boom.
Absolutely.
Mic drop, Oliver.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do one for you, right? Yeah, like... Patterns of 7 and 6, they are the rarest. There's loads of 5s, loads of 4s, fucking millions of 2s and 1s, right? But the people who go from, say, pattern 5 to 6 have been recognized by somebody who's at 6, who was a 5, who was once pulled up by someone on a 6, right? So when you get to that level, you'll be pulled up. They pulled you up because they recognized themselves that they were once that ambitious person who needed a break. Right, it's how all these rappers, they get names. Kanye was once at a party with Jamie Foxx and Jay-Z and Pharrell, okay, and they were all mingling, and then you feature on that person's album, and then you feature on that person's album. They've only made it by networking on each other's albums, for example. So They recognize that person was once them. They help them up. When you make it, you look down and you recognize yourself in somebody. You help them up. It's the same cycle. It's like, have humans already gone to Mars? Like, maybe they did thousands of years ago, and then global warming wiped us all out, and we're the next generation thinking we're the first to go to Mars. It's the same cycle. Like, it's the same cycle. Like, everything goes back around. Okay, people who follow the patterns that are created, and then the leaders create new patterns, and then the next generation follow those patterns, and then there's another leader entrepreneur who creates outside that pattern. Eventually, everyone who creates, all the followers start catching up on the trend, right? They start following that trend, but all the ones who create ended up always doing outside the box, and they all had to follow the same entrepreneurs because they were all in the same boat of success and trying to make it, and they help each other up because there's less of them. There's less of those people, and they want to be around these people. And they know when growing up, they could. I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. When all my friends are going to the pub, getting drunk, going clubbing, I wasn't drinking. I was at home making websites, going out, doing the leaflets. Friday night, I was delivering leaflets, trying to sell furniture, saying, I'll buy your phones right now. I was buying and selling everyone's phones. I was the person who was delivering leaflets like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night time, trying to get clients where all my friends are down the pub. So yeah, you become out of sync with these people, and all of a sudden you lose contact with these people, and they don't want to be with you anymore because you always turn up in a suit, for example, and they're all in a shitty little like hoodie, and they start to feel inadequate to you. They start to not feel like they're one of you because I'm the black sheep and you're the white sheep, and they don't fit in. And yeah, eventually you realize that I'm never going to fit in, and that there's only one way out now, which is to keep going right on my own. Hopefully I'll make it and find other black sheep, because they're out there, but you got to find them. But you won't find those black sheep with white sheep.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Whew. That was church for me, Oliver. Let's start calling you Pastor Oliver.
You call me new. That got me. I'm Chinese.
Wow. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that can be topped or added to that. But you know, Oliver, I was curious. It's so stupid to say, you know, well, what's your 5-year plan? Or, you know, let me ask you something different. What's the legacy that you want to leave for your children? Let me ask you that. Instead of asking you your 5-year plan, what's the legacy you want to leave for your family?
Well, I don't want children, right? I want to be free. So humans are my children, right? My parents are my children. Everyone I speak to, you're my child. People I speak to. Basically, a child, you nurture and you teach the generation below, okay? You teach your wisdom to the generation below. That's all you really do to a child until it becomes its own self. And then your knowledge is irrelevant and it learns itself, right? So I want to teach people my knowledge, okay? I'm not going to have children, so I will be just teaching people my knowledge. Why? Because it feels good when I help somebody. Yeah, in 100 years' time, my knowledge will be old-fashioned and irrelevant, right? Like Jesus' knowledge, right? He taught his shit back then, and generations move on. It's not as relevant. Jesus is an exception because all of his shit is still relevant now, but as we evolve, situations change, my knowledge becomes outdated. My granddad's knowledge, who he taught my dad, was outdated. It just keeps evolving. But by the time I die, I want to have taught as many humans as possible and helped as many humans as possible and like freed their mind, because I'm a free spirit and I was trapped. So it makes me feel good when I teach people and heal people and help people. That is it. I like it when I help people and they say, Oliver, you are amazing. And I can say, I know I am. I love it. Like, that's all I've ever had from my parents. Like, just say, God, you're amazing, because I used to do such amazing shit. I used to like their reaction and I'd do it again. So if I can tell people and heal people and like make them realize, shit, I didn't realize that. I have served my purpose. Like when you said to me, oh, I never saw about it like that mic drop. To me, that's what makes my talking worth it, because now I have impacted your life and you can take that little bit of knowledge for the next day, which you wouldn't have had if I hadn't spoke. So that's my impact. That's me teaching my children. That is my job, to just make people feel good because it makes me feel good. And all we have in life is feeling. So that's my job. That's it. Just travel the world and just connect to humans, because there's no connection anymore with humans.
Oh, yeah.
So physically having to get on a plane to Thailand to speak to, say, 300 people, that is the most amazing feeling I'll ever have. They'll all invite me to their house and see their family as one of them because I'm just a human. Whereas you've got millions of followers online, you say, oh, can I come and stay with you and come into California? Scene. They don't want you staying there because you're a fucking stranger.
Right.
So
yes.
You've got to make, physical effort. No one does anymore. Hence why when you said to me, going out and meeting people, setting about the podcast, that's what I need to do. That's what I was thinking about this morning. That's the conclusion I came to. And the fact that you've affirmed it by saying what I was thinking means that that is what I need to do. On the same day, I decided to fuck all the hashtags, fuck all the algorithm, fuck all the can you tell, mention me. It's bollocks. It's flooded. It's saturated.
It's
no
flooded.
One's there.
You're right.
Go to the next stream, which is no one is in town saying, follow my Instagram. No one's doing that. They're not actually saying, here's a business card with my Instagram. Who the fuck is doing that? No one's doing that. But
no.
That's what you need to do.
Right. Beautiful. Can I, I'm going to ask you something a little more personal because I know you've already gone through this and I already know. When you were a teenager, or even now, do people accuse you of being arrogant? And if so, how do you deal with it?
So I don't have any friends. The people I had that were friends growing up were people at school in my football team, and the only connection was football or because they were there. I didn't connect with anyone. So one by one, sadly, I had to say goodbye to them. So I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends. I enjoy my walks, seeing animals, seeing frogs, seeing foxes, seeing birds, cats, squirrels. They're my friends, okay? Because a friend to me is somebody who you want to see again. I didn't enjoy seeing those people again, as lovely as they are as people. We're just not the same people. So,
right.
What was the question?
Do you deal with that now of people accusing you of being arrogant, especially because, it's almost like people feel like you have an audacity to dream this big?
So when you're younger and you're amongst narrow-minded people, like school people, like the friends that everyone's friends with, right? When you go out, people start to talk about you, okay? Because you're not the same. Why is he doing that? Why is he doing this? And then confidence can become across as arrogant or ignorant or cocky, right? Or big ego, right? To these narrow, small-minded people, that is what you are. But to people who are ambitious and entrepreneur, it's just part of the game. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to love who you are. You've got to admire yourself. If, for example, I look in the mirror and I say, I fucking love who I am. So someone who's insecure and weak, who wants to be like, who doesn't like themselves, that's considered as arrogant. Like, you love yourself, that's arrogant. Like, because everyone doesn't love themselves. But it's not about the physical. It's not about, I'm so good looking. It's not about that. It's about loving who you are within and learning to love how you look on the outside. If you've got spots or a flat nose, or you've got, it's about loving who you are physically and internally. Whether your class is good looking or not is irrelevant. But it comes across as arrogant, right? So yeah, growing up, especially in the restaurant industry, where you've got 16, 17-year-olds who've just left school, who have just no fucking idea. It's their first job, right? I was 24, okay? First job I ever had, because I shut my business down because I couldn't grow it in the way I wanted to. So I finally got a part-time job in a job where most people were getting when they're 16. So I was amongst, like, children, like, just bitchy, negative, fucking arrogant wankers, right? So I know how people speak about me when I leave the room. I just know. It's just part of life. I can almost predict what they'll say, or along the lines of what they'll say, the types of stuff they'll say, blah, 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 blah. He's weird. Why does he do that? He's not normal. I know, right? He's so weird. They're all confiding in, he's not us, we're normal, blah, 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 blah. They're the people that end up having a shitty, miserable life. You know how it goes. So yeah, I am used to that. He's arrogant. I am. And I know that when I walk into a place like I own the place, and I'm walking in like I'm the president, he's walked in saying, hi, nice to meet you. Hello there, shaking their hands and bollocks. That's just because I like to serve and I like to dominate. And I know they're walking out like, who does he think he is? Who the fuck? She's allowed to think that because she's a negative vibration. That's all she knows. I forgive her. Like Jesus, he forgives the people who put him on the cross, right? Whether he was a real person, besides the point. It's the theory behind forgiving those you don't understand what they're doing. So yeah, I've had it my whole life, but Now I learn not to purposely do it when I'm around people who don't understand. Now I'm selectively arrogant. So when you're around somebody who you know...
Wisdom. Ooh. Go ahead.
Instead of preach on, sir. Instead of like walking into a pub full of negative, weak-minded, fucking drunk, pathetic people, knowing that they're going to be like, who does he think he is? Getting that negative energy charged on you, I now go in and just trackies in a hoodie. Because now their energy isn't focusing on me because they don't know who I am. I'm just another fucking bum walking in. So now I'm not picking up that negative energy. So now my energy levels stay the same. Which if I walked in my Gucci outfit, my denim jacket and my swag on, they're all looking at me. They're focused on me. Negative energy is being charged towards me. That lowers my energy. I don't want that. More importantly, I don't go to those places anymore. I don't go to those pubs anymore because I feel like I should. Like, why? Who says I can't go in those pubs just because I've got a fucking Lamborghini? But the reality is that these people aren't you and you're never going to fit in. That black sheep won't fit in that field. So you have to realize that you need to find other black sheep in another place, aka go to London in high classy places where the CEOs hang out, where the children of the mothers die in their kids, where they go for a coffee whilst the kids are at school. Those are the people who can get you places. As you said, where does the CEO dine and wine and take a shit and go to the gym? Those are the people who you want to start running on the treadmill next to, because he's the person who can get you places. And he won't think you're arrogant. He's an arrogant cunt himself. People looking at him in the gym thinking, what a bloody poser. Who does he think he is in his body? He doesn't give a shit about what you're thinking, because you're the one who wish you had the lifestyle he had. Right. So people thinking you're arrogant is part of the game. As soon as you don't try and fight it and you avoid it, is when you win.
I love that. Thank you. That was great wisdom for me myself, because it's something that I struggle with, and is, you know, knowing when to turn it up and turn it down, and, you know, which groups of, you know, how to select the right groups of people to be around, how to read the energy. So that was beautiful. Wow. Yeah. Don't be unapologetic, but you also don't need to force your dynamic legacy into the faces of people who aren't going to understand it anyway. That's just it's casting your pearls before swine. Do not cast your pearls before swine. I love that. I love that.
That's the thing, like most people, you can either look at these people as negative, weak, pathetic people. They're never going to have my life. They're wannabes, and like see them as like as a threat, or you can see them as these people, unfortunately, due to the circumstances of poverty, lack of knowledge, race, whatever, aren't going to have the life that I'm going to have. And now you feel sorry for these people. You understand why they have the attitude towards you. You understand why they're talking behind their back, because that's all they've ever known. Family, relatives talk about each other. That's all that they know. They don't know the feeling of happiness and acceptance and love. They've never had that. So now you don't need to take them down, because you feel sorry for them, and now you can understand them. So rather than walking into the pub, rubbing it in their face, look at my Gucci jacket, now you understand that it's not nice to sort of dangle a dog biscuit in front of a dog's face if they're never going to have it. So you don't dangle it in that dog's face. You go to another place where they're not there. So now they don't see that this lifestyle exists, and they don't wish they had anything. Because it's not nice, like, showing somebody like this, you want this Lamborghini, yeah? Well, you've got to make 200 grand to buy it. I'd rather not see the Lamborghini. I'd rather not know it exists. You know what I mean? It's like if my father ran away when I was a kid and he doesn't want me, I would rather not see him at all, knowing I can't have the thing that I want.
Right,
you know?
Can't have that
it's acceptance of the reality. It's, again, how you look at it. You can be Jesus and forgive these people because they don't understand, or hate these fuckers for putting you on the cross. It's the mindset. You know what I mean?
From the mouths of babes, I am so impressed with you. And I just want to say, you know, I was a little apprehensive at first because you don't have a whole lot of structure to your show. You know, like you said, no editing, no politics, no global warming. And I was a little scared, but then I saw a couple of your episodes. I didn't listen to all of them in their entirety because your shows are a bit long, but, I understand why you do things the way that you do. I see now that you don't have to make your show like everyone else's because you're not on the level of everyone else. You don't have to have a structured show that's exactly 30 minutes or exactly 45 minutes or exactly, you know, you have this theme or that theme. And I'm glad that we were able to discuss the business theme. I think it was good for both you and me. But what you just said about forgiving them or hating them, that is something I need to work on. And I'm really glad that you did that, because I have a, you know, part of, I think, my own trauma and my own damage is that need for revenge, is that need to get back at people. And that is not, all that's doing is inviting negativity. It's not about justice. It's about energy. So, you know, there are things that we can do to try to create justice after we've been hurt. But the question is it worth the price you have to pay energetically to get it? And I feel, you know, I feel very convicted, you know, and I'm glad you said what you said. I'm sure there's a lot of people who also need to hear that as well. So thank you.
So yeah, there's negative people who are always going to be pulled back by a negative charge. And there's positive people that are always going to be pulled by positive charge, right? But there's people in the middle, for example, which you said yourself, where you've come from both sides of like having to struggle, but not having everything, but also not being really poverty, but also not, you know what I'm trying to say? You're the balance in the middle, right? So now you're part of negative and positive, right? I learned this, that if you're part of the middle, you're part of negative and positive. You can't go and punish and get revenge and say, fuck you, look at my Lamborghini. I told you I'd have it. You can't go back to all these negative people because there's so fucking many of them, right? You can't go back and you said, get revenge. That friend you had at school, which stuck in your head, which was your driving force of, I'll show her. You don't have to go back and show her. She was the driving force of getting you out of the toxic, negative, cancerous environment you're in. So now you go back and say, hey, I want to thank you for saying all that shit to me, because that gave me the drive to reach that positive energy where there was no negative at all. Whereas if you're trying to make it and you're going back to these negative people and saying, fuck you, told you this, blah, 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 again, you're getting sucked in again. They don't give a shit about you. You were an element in their life many, many years ago. They've forgotten about you, but because they were the driving force, they have a clear vision in your head. They are like the person of, I'll show you, like when the mother or father says, you won't make it, and you want to go out, so like I did to my parents. It all became about saying, they said, oh, if you can't do that, watch me. It became about the watch me as opposed to, why do I want this lifestyle? And then I realized I can't now use my parents' non-approval of me, of being this normal kid getting a fucking job, to create my life. Because when they're not there, I've got to now use my own driving force. So I needed to have my own driving force and principles within to keep my own truck going. So if you are in the middle, where you've come from negative, like me, everyone kept telling me, no, why can't you be normal? If I went back and like had a go at them, so I felt this revenge, it would take the energy rather than the justice. So I had to understand that these people are never going to have the life that I live, and they never understood me because they're never going to be me. Understand, forgive them. Go back if you have to and say thank you for bullying me. Like, I got bullied as a kid, right? I went and approached all the people who I bullied because I was bullied, and I said, I'm sorry for bullying you, and I explained my reasons why, and they forgave me. I also reached out to all the people who bullied me, and I forgave them, okay? Just because I know that they will have guilt growing up for how they treated me, because they all knew that I was a great, loving family guy. But because they were weak amongst the pack, they had to show the leader in charge of the pack that he was strong. So he had to be the one who was like taking the piss out of that person. So the person who they followed didn't see them as weak because they are the weakest. I reached out to them and I said, I forgive you, bro. And that was it. Never heard from them again. But I let go of all the negative energy I held to all these people. And I envisioned going back to like my school reunion in my Lamborghini, turning up and everyone going, cool, look at him. I'm not even going to go to the fucking reunion. What the fuck was school? School doesn't exist to me. I can give a shit. Those people haven't changed. I'll be in LA doing all my fucking speakings, like making millions whilst they're fucking going to the pub afterwards. So all their old friends that they're reminiscing and wishing they had that school days again because they've got marriage, they've got a fucking mortgage and a job and kids and their shitty, miserable lives. It's not about that. You have to let go of that because, again, once you're in the middle and you are part of that, like me, I learned to just say goodbye. Don't look back and go forward. So as you said, holding on to that negative energy of an ex-boss or ex-boyfriend saying whatever, understand that he doesn't understand. He's never going to understand. And you don't want to waste your energy going back into the negative charge. Instead, you want to waste it going forward into the positive charge, because you can either use the energy to pull yourself forward or force yourself back. It's the same thing. So go forward instead.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is so healing. And you know what? That applies to relationships, finances, family, interpersonal relationships, romantic relationships, business, everything, everything. I love it. I love it. Oliver, you, Pastor Oliver. I want to switch gears here. I'm getting a little hungry. It looks like it finally stopped raining, so I might go take a walk outside. This is one of those conversations, like, I really need to, like, sit and let this new information really marinate in my soul. My dream has always been to come to England. I grew up on the BBC. I grew up on EastEnders. I grew up on Kipper. My daughter grew up on Kipper. I love England. I love England. I know you guys have been making beer for, and you don't drink, but you've been making beer. Beer is a big part of your culture. Are there any recommendations that you have for me, being the beer queen, an American beer queen coming to England?
What, as in, like, what beer would you drink? What's, like, the beer that people drink?
I want to taste all the lagers.
Well, there's so many. There's Kronenbourg, there's Stella, there's Beck's, there is so many. There's Heisenberg, there's Stella Artois. There is so many beers. Obviously, you've got the big brand beers, like the big ones, like Corona and stuff. But there's so many small breweries that local places sell, like little pubs in London, for example. They brew their own beer. Like anywhere in the world, there's so many different places and independent people brewing their beer. I can't really... There's just beer all over the place. Like London, there's just so many places where they've got unique beers from Switzerland and stuff that you've never even heard of. Oh shit, can you hear me properly? I wasn't speaking to the mic.
That's okay.
Yeah, was it still loud though when I was speaking?
Yeah, I did hear you. I did hear you clearly.
Okay, yeah. So all I can say is there's just places to drink, loads of places to beer. Like there's places where there's like say 30 different beers and they give you small sips of each beer. So you sit down, you like a beer tasting session, like a wine tasting session, where you just sip different types of beer. And you taste the different, like, lagers and the ales and the... When you do come to England, I'll take you to the BBC studios. Because last year, I was playing table tennis outside BBC, the studios, like, where it's all recorded. And you watch all the presenters and all, like, you know, all the presenters just come out. And I was just playing ping pong. Middle of the summer, hottest day of the year. No shoes, no shirt, me and my shorts, playing ping pong for 6-7 hours straight. Every time people came out on their lunch break, I said... Quick game of ping pong. I was playing ping pong for like 30, 40 people in a day. I was connecting to all these people. We didn't even say hello. Quick game. We had a game. They went back to their news desk, their reporting desk, their weather desk, their whatever the fuck they were doing. These people probably like high up in their office, right? But everyone loves a game of ping pong. Everyone loves a conversation. And best days of my life outside the BBC where they shoot all this shit. And I'm just playing ping pong. And this, they must have been like, that guy's been there for 7 hours. He's not got any shoes on, no shirt on, and he's running around finding that ping pong ball. Who does he think he is? And in my head, I'm saying, like, that's the point. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all about how you see yourself.
I love it.
It doesn't matter what people are thinking. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all.
You know what? And for every person that has something negative to say, there's probably 10 people you probably made their day. You probably gave them a laugh. You made them feel good. If they came down and played with you, that was a little fun physical activity that they'll probably always remember. And it's creating those moments. And in hospitality, we talk about creating a good, wonderful guest experience. Well, if your legacy is to be a parent to all of humanity, you have to create a wonderful human experience. And that's what you do. And that's what you're good at. I will say, though, you be careful. You don't give away all your ideas because you are really brilliant. Keep a couple of them for yourself, okay?
Yeah, that's the thing. I've realized that China is already doing everyone's idea anyway. And even though I have the ideas... it takes a different mindset of somebody to end up manifesting it. I learned that just because I've told somebody my idea, don't think they're going to nick it, because they might think that's a good idea. But then when they've got to change their lifestyle, get up early, invest, spend time researching, they don't want to do that. So actually, I might have a great idea that I've put out on here, but most of them won't do it because it takes time to manifest it. So there's no, you shouldn't be scared that people are going to nick your ideas, because trust me, they won't. They haven't got the drive, the vision, the motivation. They won't. Richard Branson once said, never be afraid to tell somebody your idea, because you need those people to get it out there. Whereas if you're not telling them because you think they're going to nick the idea, no one's going to know the fuck you are.
Good. Cool. You know, Oliver, right. I'm blown away by you. I'm so impressed, and I'm so happy that this happened. I wasn't quite sure. You didn't know me. I didn't know you, but this has been an incredibly powerful conversation. I'm super impressed. I have to fly out there. I have to meet you. I have to come out there and play some ping pong with you. I think you're going to change the world, and I can't wait to watch you do it. And hopefully, you know, we'll cross paths and continue to figure out if there are ways for us to support one another on, you know, on our websites or whatever. I definitely want my listeners to know who you are. So if you wouldn't mind, would you be willing to repurpose this interview and let me post it on my platform?
Yeah. So one thing.
Start there.
What I say will happen. You're going to come over. We're going to play ping pong at the BBC. And then we're going to go to beer places and try different beers. I don't drink beer, but I'll have a sip or whatever, right? I'll take you there. Number one. Number two. Number three, we will do a public speaking event somewhere, someday. Whether it's in London or I come to California, we will do a speaking event somewhere, somehow, through somewhere, okay? Other thing, yes, you could take the audio, the video, and put it on your platforms. No problem. But yeah, I do plan to change the world. I actually do. I'll plan to be the modern Jesus, because I can preach stuff that most can't, because not only most people, they talk, most people learn. They learn through other people on YouTube, for example. And they think, if I can just teach how to make the stock work for me overnight, if I can teach how to become a business entrepreneur overnight, that they're going to do it. Most don't have the experience of the failures, the pressure, the struggles. Most don't have the actual experience. And that's what people buy into. It's the experience and the authenticity that person has walked the walk, and they are telling you what they struggled and how they got out there. And that is the selling point. So yes, I do plan to change the world with freeing people's mind, because I was trapped in my mind through so much creativity and ideas growing up that I literally wanted to die. And I flipped myself around by learning the law of attraction, and my whole life changed. And I know how to free people in their mind. We're all trapped by the same reasons, and I know how to free people. So that's what I want to do, free people. And they can be like, Oliver, you saved me, you changed my life. And that is all I really want to hear, praise. Like, as you said, I like speaking to random people I don't even know, seeing I've impacted their lives, like the BBC. They will remember me. The fact that I was playing ping pong with them for 20 minutes with my shirt off, with bleach blonde hair, that will stay in their head forever. And that is the impact I want to leave. You know who I am, you remember me. And that's it. I just gave you something to take away. Whether it's just be yourself, or you don't need sun cream, fucking just go out in the sun, like, you're not going to fucking die, just, you know, just something.
I love it. Oliver, you're amazing, and I think you've gained a disciple. Pastor?
do you want to plug anything before you go?
I
know you're
going to
take this to yours, but any podcasts and shit, socials and...
Okay, well, so socials are on standpoint. They're at a standstill because, like I said earlier, I've made a conscious effort to not put so much energy into that. But Oliver and I did meet on Facebook. So, you know, I'm one of Oliver's friends. Find me. It's Beer Talk Radio. Very simple to remember. My name is Jenny. I don't even think I said my name, by the way, everyone.
I don't even know your name, because it doesn't matter. That's what it's all about. It doesn't matter.
If you'd like to send me an email, I am jenny@beertalkradio.net. My website is beertalkradio.net. And I keep my YouTube channel as kind of the central hub of all my content. So all the beer reviews, all the fun things that I do, the podcast, the videos, the public announcements, all everything is on the YouTube. So that is the central hub. If you want to follow me, I do love subscribers. I do subscribe back. Every comment that is left, I do reply to every comment because I really do care. And your opinion is really valuable to me. Your connection is really valuable to me. Like I said, building real engagement that you can feel in your heart is valuable to me. So please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Beer Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording and then we'll speak after, okay?
Okay, gotcha.